women pilots, and airlines. Is there still a glass ceiling? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature. Thanks for the download today. My guest today is Karen Kahn. Karen is a career airline pilot. She is also a mentor in several different ways to people coming up through the system. And she has written a book called Flight Guide for Success, which is designed to help people, anybody who wants a professional career in aviation, whether starting out as a young person or as a career change, to find their way. Karen, thanks again for taking some time out for our listeners today.
My pleasure. I'm always delighted to be here.
I can't help but think that with the presidential race turning out in the U.S. the way it did, it has focused new attention on the situations of minorities and women in the workforce in general. I think Hillary Clinton has been somewhat of a metaphor for an inspiration to women in the workplace. And I think Barack Obama obviously is provoking some very interesting discussions about the progress made by minorities in the workplace. You have been an airline pilot for quite a while now. I mean, long enough to have seen possibly some sea changes in attitudes about women in the workplace. And I wanted to ask you if you have seen a change over the time you've been in the industry in expectations based on of women as they get into the business. Do women expect more? Are they getting more out of the business, getting fairer treatment, and are companies treating them more fairly?
I think they certainly are. I think, you know, society as a whole has looked at women now as qualified to do the job, then here's the job, do it. When I first got into it, boy, it'll be 31 years ago, women were looked at very closely to see if they could do the job. I was lucky I was not the first woman hired at my airline. I was the fourth. By that time, I was a little bit less of a novelty. Mm-hmm. To their credit, most of the guys I flew with took the attitude, well, let's see if she can do her job. And I agreed 100%. That's what I wanted to be accepted for, was my ability to do the job. Initially, the airlines themselves had some interesting, should we say, concerns. For example, they had asked my airline, they kind of subtly said, let's not let the women make the public address announcements on the plane. We don't want to scare the passengers.
Oh, my.
Of course, initially, most people would just hear a female voice and wouldn't think much about it, thinking it was a flight attendant. It was interesting that just this year I noticed that the ticket jackets that people are given when they check in and they put your ticket in it and hand it to you now have a photograph in one particular instance of a woman pilot. Mm-hmm. So I thought to myself, gee, we've come a long way from don't make the public address announcements to we're willing to actually put one on the cover here. I think one of the most important things for women getting into this business is to recognize that the real criteria is to be qualified at what you do. Mm-hmm. And not expect any favors because you're women. I know that some of the women starting out in the earlier days, I think certainly I encountered one or two, had the notion that somebody would kind of drag them along through. And I was the first person to say, certainly if they're not qualified to do their job, I certainly don't want another woman here because it certainly gives me a bad name.
Right.
And I was very pleased to see that my airline, you know, showed to the door in my class two guys, and they've also had several women who did not successfully complete the program. Mm-hmm. The nice thing about aviation was, from the standpoint of non-gender bias, was for the most part, you are a number, and you are a seniority number and an employee number, and when your turn to, you know, upgrade or get a promotion comes up, they look to the number. If you've got a high enough seniority number, you're allowed to bid that particular position. I can even remember times when I would ask the Czech airman if he knew that I was his victim for the day because he was being so nonchalant. I thought maybe he was waiting around for some guy to show up.
Well, let me ask you about the time when you got into the industry. Did you find subtle pressures when you said you wanted to go to work for the airlines to kind of nudge you in the direction of flight attendant or a ticket agent or something that was more a more traditional role?
Oh, not at all. I actually applied to my airline because a friend of mine who was a pilot for another airline happened to be driving down to Los Angeles that day, and he said, well, let's stop by, and you can fill out an application here. And I actually had said, oh, no, I don't have any, you know, of my paperwork with me. And he kind of said, nope, go ahead and fill out the paperwork. I did. When I went to turn it in, I wanted to make a copy of it, and I asked the person at the desk where I could get a copy, and they said, by the way, what job are you applying for? Mm-hmm. And I said, pilot. And they asked me how much flight time I had, and I said about 2,000 hours. And they said, oh, well, we don't have a copy machine, but when you come back, be sure you put it in this pile, not that pile. So from that standpoint, they were looking for qualified women. And I think they're always looking for qualified pilots and people who can do the job and who don't expect any special favors.
Talking today with Karen Kahn, who has written the book Flight Guide for Success based on her career in aviation to try to help you with yours. We'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Platt, talking today with Karen Kahn, author of Flight Guide for Success. And we're talking about women in the workplace, specifically in aviation, and even more specifically in the cockpit these days. Karen, I know that you mentioned in the first half here that some women seem to have an attitude when they were getting started in the business, about the time you were, that somebody would, quote, pull them along, unquote, through all the different challenges that face someone new in the industry, and that was not the case. Do women do anything else, in your opinion, to hurt their own chances when they get these opportunities?
Paul, I have a special section in my book that's entitled Women's Issues, and I discuss a number of different things. Some women who think mistakenly that they will get some kind of special treatment, which is wrong in my mind. Some women who don't work hard enough recognizing they have to be able to do the job, and that is the criteria. Some women sabotage themselves. I talk about don't try to be one of the boys. You're not. It's possible to be, you know, professional yet feminine.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it is how they look at themselves, and it wasn't until I moved up to captain that I realized that my job was not to be everybody's buddy and friend. My job was to, you know, coordinate the operations of the airplane, run it safely, and if you had to step on a few toes every now and then, so be it. But the women aren't a pushover just because they happen to be women. So a lot of women's jobs are going to be constantly having to prove themselves and their abilities.
I spent a lot of time working in the broadcast industry where the Federal Communications Commission for quite a while actually imposed hiring quotas of a sort on radio stations. It was eventually struck down by the Supreme Court, but essentially if you were a broadcaster, your license to operate a radio station could be in jeopardy if, when the FCC came around to do its audit, you did not have a makeup on your staff that somewhat matched the demographics and racial makeup of your marketplace. And the problem that we always faced in recruiting for new hires was attracting the people who were not naturally drawn to the format of the radio station, the musical format of the radio station. Does this have a parallel in aviation? I know that if you gather together, for example, the Air Safety Foundation's safety seminars, if you go to one of those hotel room gatherings, you'll see a largely male-dominated crowd. Is part of the issue with women in aviation just the fact that so many more guys will apply than women, or is that a misconception on my part?
There's a whole group called Women Technical Educators who are working hard to try to get young women, and particularly grade school and high school age girls, interested in careers that have to do with math and science. I think aviation has gotten kind of a bad rap as being something that you really have to know a whole lot about math and science. I mean, I'm the first person to say I got into it because I really enjoyed the immediate feedback and the freedom, and, hey, going places was very high on my list.
Yeah, and the view.
Exactly. So I think women, for whatever reason, and there's a lot of cultural reasons, women are generally raised more in an environment that doesn't particularly foster some of the characteristics that you may find in flying. But these days, I think you're seeing more and more women get interested in it, follow through with it, and the numbers, of course, are increasing substantially. When I started, I don't think they had very many. I know that there were some government-mandated EEOC regulations at the time, so a number of airlines did go out and hire, should we say, larger groups of women. And I think some of the men were probably rightly annoyed if some women got hired who didn't have the qualifications. I think, you know, particularly in our business, I always tell people the airplane doesn't know the sex of the person who's flying it.
Mm-hmm.
When you find one that does, I'll stop. So my point there is, you know, discriminating against somebody because of their sex when really we're looking at their skill to do the job. But the other thing that's very important, particularly as you get into a multi-pilot environment, is the skill to get along.
Mm-hmm.
And women, in my mind, would do very well to read some of the books that talk about gender issues in the workplace, differences, because having been raised differently, men and women, you know, take on these types of tasks, as we have to do in flying, with a very different outlook. Women tend to be more group-associated, whereas men tend to be focused more linearly.
Mm-hmm.
So in my book, I talk a little bit about things women need to know if they're going to go into a field that's predominantly men and how to work with them. And as a matter of fact, the interesting thing that's come about is they've actually come around to realizing that CRM, crew or cockpit resource management,
mm-hmm.
is actually a very feminine type model in terms of talking about gathering all the information you can before you make a decision. And that's actually a way women tend to solve problems, and they're finding it works very well in aviation where you need to have that input to fly safely.
Assuming that we have a young person who is a woman listening to this and she's becoming encouraged about getting involved as a pilot in the aviation industry, where does a young woman these days look for mentoring in this industry?
Well, fortunately, there are a number of organizations, and I think a lot of the schooling that occurs now in the lower grades is actually fostering this. But I know the 99s, the International Association of Licensed Women Pilots, they have chapters in most every area. Women in Aviation, another group that actually fosters careers for women in all areas of aviation, not just piloting. I think a lot of the Girls Inc., Boys and Girls Club are now encouraging this. And, you know, any kind of a search online, there's also a great website called flygirl.com, which
mm-hmm.
specifically encourages teenage girls to get into flying. Fortunately, there's a whole lot more, and my book's a good place to start. I suggest to anybody interested in flying to read the book, you know, front to back, because it'll give them not only an idea of what's involved starting out, but it also gets you into the more advanced areas and lets you see now, as a young person, things that you can do and make note of that will really make a difference later.
Well, Karen, your advice has been very helpful. It makes a lot of sense. And I will say to anybody who's considering buying the book that the advice in it applies not only to the aviation industry, but it's a great read for anybody who's kind of struggling for that epiphany that'll break them through in their career in any field. And it's called Flight Guide for Success. It retails for $19.95 plus $4.50 shipping and handling. And I guess the easiest website from which to obtain it is flightguideforsuccess.com.
That's correct. And I always tell people it's really how to show somebody that you're passionate about what you're doing and get them to help you and move you along, because that's what we're all looking for, is somebody to give us that leg up.
Well, Karen, keep flying, fly safe, and we really appreciate the chance to talk to you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much.
My guest has been Karen Kahn, and you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.